This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, this is Marsha Hines, and you're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9.
It's a quarter past seven. You are listening to Generation Next, joined tonight by Dylan, Patrick, and Eleanor. If you want to get involved in the conversation, please feel free to hit us up on 0427-JOY-949 or shoot us an email on onair@joy.org.au.
Right now, we are going to be chatting with Federal Member for Melbourne, which is Adam Bandt. Hello, Adam.
Hi, how are you going?
I'm fantastic. How are you going?
I'm good.
Yes, good. Good to hear. Good to hear. Look, we're just going to kick off because last week we were chatting a little bit about LGBTIQ youth homelessness in particular. Now, there doesn't seem to be a lot of literature on the subject in Australia. A lot of even any of the documents that I found that was made by the Australian government was linked to a lot of UK studies and US studies. How do you find that that's, oh goodness gracious me, Dylan, I'm jumping around with a sentence here, aren't I? Anyway, talking a little bit also about government housing, the waiting period for government housing are exponentially long with a queue of people in need of housing. What would you say to a young LGBTI person who has found themselves without permanent housing as such?
Well, I think you've put your finger on a couple of really important problems. One is that we know anecdotally that it's a problem, especially for young people, if it comes at the time that you're coming out or coming to grips with who you're attracted to, then that can be a pretty difficult time for people. And if the response is that your family isn't there to support you, it can really add to the burden. And that's especially so with homelessness and housing. But there's precious little research on the subject. And the Australian government, and indeed a lot of service providers, don't actually collate the data which would allow us to identify just how big a problem it is. And I think that's one area that needs to change. But there is a group, one of the groups called the Young and Well Cooperative Research Centre, which is actually based in Abbotsford here in my electorate, and has the very excellent Jason Ball working for them, who some of you may know as the AFL footballer who helped organise the Pride round and the marches previously. They've released some research last year that shows it's actually a growing problem, and people are finding themselves, especially under 18s, moving through various houses and in unstable housing arrangements, and it is a particular problem when you start connecting it with sexuality. And then, as you say, in Victoria, we've got tens of thousands of people on the public housing waiting list. We've got a government whose only plan seems to be to try and sell it off as quick as possible rather than build more. And I think it's a if it isn't a crisis already, it's a crisis waiting to happen.
And that's really true as well. And it's quite scary because the government is planning to sell off a large chunk in, what is it, Richmond and Fitzroy, which are two large areas that have public housing.
Look, here in this electorate of Melbourne that I represent, we've got more public housing than any other electorate in the country. And you see it in the flats in Richmond and in Fitzroy and in Flemington, where I live, and Collingwood, right across the electorate. And it's prime inner city real estate now, and you can see the bureaucrats looking at it going, well, if we sold this off and turned it into expensive apartments, we'd make a lot of money. They floated that with some of the land in Fitzroy and got pretty fierce community opposition from not just public housing tenants but from private residents as well, who said, no, we want to keep the diversity in the area. And I think they came back on Friday with another report to have a bit of another nibble at it to see whether anyone would whether the popularity had changed in the meantime, and I think the answer is no. And so although the Liberal government wants to do it, community campaigns have pushed them off.
So in 1987, Bob Hawke said that by 1990, no child in Australia will be living in poverty. The former Prime Minister said in 2007 that he regretted making such a pledge because it was impossible to keep. So what ideas do the Greens have to dissolve or work towards ending poverty and youth homelessness in Australia?
Well, you start by acknowledging that it is, in fact, a huge problem, and that we're creating a society in which the gap between rich and poor is growing, and we're in an environment where some people may end up Once you own a house, it becomes easier to own a second or a third house for investment properties to drive rents up. But increasingly at the other side, we've got people who are just being permanently locked out of the house ownership market, but also increasingly the rental market as well. So I think we really need to tackle housing affordability as a big issue in dealing with poverty. We need to stop penalising people who are on welfare, which is what is happening at the moment. I mean, the level of the dole at the moment is just criminally low. The level of support given to students is low, and it forces people to start making choices that they don't want to make just to stay alive. So in a nutshell, I would say, look, we're a wealthy country. If we asked the likes of Gina Rinehart to pay a fair share of tax, we could fund more, we could start building more affordable homes here, and we could lift welfare and student support to the level it should be.
Moving on from that, as such, more from the housing situation, do you think that there should be more initiatives that are catering to ending the cycle of homelessness? And how do we make them more prevalently viewed? Because people will look at charities or religious bodies wherein a person using the service may need to subscribe to the religious views in order to receive support. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword there for that one.
Yeah, it is. And look, I think it's possible to end homelessness in Australia. I think we could do it in 10 years if the government was prepared to put some money into it. And you're not talking about the sums of money that would cripple the budget. You're talking about the sums of money that we give in corporate welfare every year. So you could just take, if you just took existing money that at the moment is going to subsidise wealthy corporations and put that into something like housing and homelessness, you could break that cycle. And at the moment, sadly, homeless or housing services, one survey that I've seen says that that they're turning away an estimated 50% of people who come to them each day seeking crisis accommodation for that night. And, you know, where do those 50% of people go? They end up on the streets or couch surfing until they get or moving from house to house until they get kicked out of that as well.
Yeah, that is true. And when I can speak from experience on that topic, because I know when I first came to Melbourne and I was I didn't have permanent housing, I was couch surfing with strangers, and it was incredibly hard to try and find network of support. And then there, it just seemed like a series of gatekeeper, like one after another, to the point where it's just like you just give up.
Yeah, look, and I think that's right. And I tried for a week to live on the equivalent of Newstart.
And how did you find that humbling experience?
You couldn't do it. And I mean, I knew that at the end of it, I could go back to my well-paid job and comfortable life. And but it's just impossible to do. You can't do it without either going into debt or giving up on essentials. And during the course of the week, I went and spoke to some of the housing services in inner city Melbourne, where I live. And look, if you the cheapest that you could find for a one bedroom apartment or in Melbourne was $180 a week, and when your new start is $240 and you're paying $180 just from on day one of the week, there's not enough left to cover the essentials. And talking to housing agencies who say, look, when we've got someone who's homeless who comes to us, we can place them in a rooming house somewhere in Melbourne if we're lucky to find a vacancy. But if we do, the minimum cost for that is $180 a week. And that's got to come out of their $240 rental, new start rather, as well. So like how people make ends meet is beyond me, especially if you're a single parent looking after a young kid. I just don't understand how they expect people to do it.
That is very true. But Adam, unfortunately, we've run out of time for tonight. Thank you so much for providing some insight onto the topic.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much, Adam. Good
on you for talking about it as well. It's really like the gap's growing, and there's so many people who are just finding it really hard to make ends meet, and just the basic essentials of life, like food and housing, in a country like Australia, shouldn't be at risk, but they are for too many people. So good on you for talking about it.
Thank you so much for that, Adam. You are listening to Generation Next, and we've got more of the show coming up right after this.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au.
Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.